see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
And should we just do feminism fails? And
I didn't even write down any feminism fails except for horrible. I hated the women tell all so much.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on the Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love the Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Guys, we're all just so blessed to be here.
Let's just really spend this time building each other up.
Unless by each other you mean the Women Tell All episode, which was hot garbage.
Hey, Claire, we're being nice here.
Okay, sorry. Let's try this again. We're going to have a very supportive and emotionally nurturing conversation today about the truly strong and wonderful and empowered episodes we watched last night. Part two of Fantasy Suites and the Women Tell All.
And luckily, we have one of our most emotionally nurturing and supportive and favorite Bachelor Nation guests, Charlene Joint, here with us today.
Charlene, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me back.
So we have 3 hours of Bachelor television to get through.
I really think I blacked out for most of Women Tell All.
I have a question. If yes. you did not have to talk about it, recap it, do a podcast about it, would you have made it through the 3 hours?
100% no.
I can't imagine doing that on purpose to myself.
Literally, my written recap says the same thing. I'm like, take me back to a time when I didn't recap this show.
And I could
Are
turn
you happy
it off?
About 3 hours?
No. I'm not happy about 3 hours, and especially the 3 hours we got last night where it was just like, physically painful to watch 75%
of it.
I
used to enjoy 3 hour weeks when I wasn't doing it for work because it was like maybe I'd tweet a couple times, I'd be chilling on the couch with my takeout, and now it's like feverish note taking and tweeting and like
pausing.
One thing on my notes literally says that was the worst thing I've ever watched.
And
oh, wow.
Like
what even were you
and you're talking about
to?
Women Tell All?
Yeah, Women Tell All.
Oh god. Well, we're gonna have to get to that, but let's start with part two of the fantasy dates. We start with Raven's Morning After, which is a really awkward place to start a week. I was totally out of the flow of Raven's date at that point.
But as they had to remind us, she had never had an orgasm. But
it was
Nick
difficult to forget.
Nick is very good at what
he
does.
And because that's America's business.
Yeah, right.
Raven is very good at getting people on her side by sharing a lot of her intimate personal detail. Like, she's the kind of person that you would meet and be like, oh, we're best friends, because she just started telling me all about her past.
Also, it would have been very sweet to see her in, like, all bundled in a blanket and stuff, like, had it not been a weirdly truncated.
Yeah.
I think we kind of missed the sweetness of the morning after shot where it was just like, oh, and here we are. Now she's dancing
around
because presumably she had her very first orgasm.
That was like a movie montage of the morning after from, like, a spoof rom-com. Like, it was from, like, They Came Together or something, that moment. And it just went on and on. They were like, no morning after with Raven, except for the extended sequence where she runs through the snow.
It kind of, honestly, the running around sequence kind of bothered me a bit because I felt like, okay, I understand you got close with your producer and maybe you, like, ended up talking about your sexual history, whatever. And then, you know, obviously that was exploited. But then she was, like, very game to do all that other stuff. You know what I mean? It just was a little like, oh.
Yeah, she was like, in case anyone isn't clear,
orgasms.
How much pleasure was given to me last night in a sexual way?
Yeah.
Here's some shots of me doing snow angels by myself in the middle of a Finnish town.
Lapland?
Yes,
yes,
in Lapland, but it doesn't appear to be populated, but it is a town.
There's some sort of rainbow structure.
Yeah, they were making use of the setting.
Yeah, I mean, again, Finland looks very pretty. It did make me kind of want to take a vacation
there.
It's
working.
Yeah, it's like, this is the most effective tourism. Yeah.
I'm in. She says that she's very satisfied. And that's kind of the story of Raven's date.
Yep, and that's all we got.
And off we go to
Rachel, which...
Rachel...
She's just my favorite.
Immediately she's says
There's
that,
nothing not to like about
no.
Rachel.
She's so perfect.
And also, all of them are wearing these really cute winter hats. I was like, God, like a winter
which were totally
date
given to them.
Oh, yeah, because they were all matching. They were all the same hat in different colors. I was like, that was in your, like, gift bag,
no girl was
right?
packing a thick parka to go on The Bachelor when you only have a 2-suitcase limit.
Yeah, that's the thing. You need to get 20 gowns in there.
Do they allow – you think they allow them to, like, get winter coats
I'm
while
sure
they're
it was given
route?
To them. Yeah, yeah, or, you know, all that downtown during hometown week. I'm sure they
they're, like,
went
stuck
shopping.
Up.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Just find the cutest parka.
Or maybe it was just, like, given to them, get on a plane, you're going to Finland. But wow. Something tells me they didn't have that since night one.
Yeah.
No,
I think you're right.
Yeah. And Rachel meets Nick in these snowy, snow-covered woods.
She was just like wandering the woods by herself,
she
living the Narnia.
Narnia.
Oh, which
dream.
Made me like her even more. Because I compare things to Narnia. I was like, I thought I was the only one that did that. It's such a good reference.
We all just, like, clutched our bosoms as we discussed that in the studio.
I really enjoyed that Rachel was terrible at cross-country skiing. It was very endearing.
And frustrated.
Yeah.
She was terrible.
Yeah. I would have been very frustrated, too. Yeah.
They're both people who like to point out how athletic they are, and that came up a lot, given how bad they were at cross-country skiing. But it isn't really, like, an athletic thing. It requires a lot of practice and coordination. It's not, like, the same as running fast or something like that, which is, you know, I wouldn't want to do either because I'm not athletic. But Rachel kept falling down, and it was just cute. They're so cute together.
They are.
Why did they ruin this for us?
And they have such
us?
Good chemistry.
I know. Yeah. I was like, this is terrible. I like their pairing kind of best. And we know where it's going. So it sort of I don't know.
I did, like, even though they are so lovely to watch together and they have such good chemistry, and also just, like, the way she laughs at his jokes and vice versa. It's just really natural. I do find that, like, I did find I was really checked out just because I knew she was Bachelorette. It's like, okay. Like,
yeah, I was like, that was sweet.
I could
don't
appreciate
really
it.
Have to pay that close attention because all the drama's gone.
Well, especially when it's 3 hours and you're like,
right, you're like, oh God, we're only 20 minutes in here. Like, shit.
Can we get to the stuff that matters? Yeah. It's hard for me to check out. Like, there's a part of me that is counterfactualizing it that's like, maybe he actually does pick Rachel and this has all been an elaborate ruse and they're in love and they're having a baby. And then I'm like, Claire, calm down. That's not what's happening. But they're just so cute. They go to a reindeer petting zoo and she's talking to the reindeer and she's like, hi, honey, have you seen Santa? And I was like, stop it.
She offers
stop.
To call
she
Nick
call him Donner?
Nick. Did she? I missed that.
Or one of them.
Which is funny because like, they were hanging out in a cabin that was something that the Donner Party might have stayed in. making their disastrous. No, the Donner Party, they were also cannibals.
Oh.
But they cannibalized each other while on the Oregon Trail because they got caught in a blizzard in the mountains.
All I know about the Oregon Trail is that you can ford the river. So.
Here's the thing. I once did a 20-page research paper on cannibalism. So those factoids are going to keep cropping up.
Oh, well.
Yum.
Yeah. So.
You know how they got in a sleigh pulled by a reindeer and while they laid on reindeer pelts? Did anyone else notice that?
Oh, my God.
They're like, these reindeer are here to serve us in every way. Hey, cutie, we're going to slaughter
part
you
of
for
you.
And they have this awkward moment in the murder cabin where she's opening up about how scared she still is. And he's like, I'm scared, too. It's the same. I understand. And it's just not the same. And then she says, you're rare and refreshing. You're different. And he's like, yeah, I might be white, but I'm still a minority.
I thought that was hilarious.
I was like, oh, God.
I was like, painful. What are you doing?
It was painful.
It was painful. I still laughed. I have to admit I laughed. I'm sorry.
I just like it when he addresses the race thing in a casual manner
instead of making it like so like.
Like now we sit down and have a race talk.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he definitely, it's apparent that he's not quite sure how to address it, but he doesn't want to not address it. So it comes out in these little like weird moments that don't necessarily play well on TV. But I'm sure also that he wouldn't look back later and be like, wow, that's going to be the centerpiece of this date, is this moment when I made that weird joke. And then we get to the evening portion. Does anyone remember the evening portion of the date, or were you guys taking a little nap?
He asks Rachel, if you were to check your ego at the door, what would your heart say? It's like a – and quotable. It would say
– listen to your heart. Yeah,
it would say she's falling in love with him.
So, yeah. I mean – it's interesting how they always do that. Like, they get the person who's the most reticent to open up and then
they dump them.
Yeah. It's like, he didn't have to do that. You have to imagine he knew that she was going home that week. I just think that's interesting.
I think so. I think he...
But he does also have a history of getting people to open up and then being like, well, now that you've said it, it turns out I don't feel the same way.
I sat with that for a minute and it doesn't land.
He's done that with several people.
Yeah, I think this is
that's
like,
how he figures out if he likes someone.
This is like the fourth one. Yeah.
He's like, I need you on the hook first.
Well, he really doesn't like feeling as though he might be rejected.
Yeah.
Mm. He said that's a fear of his, and he says it again. He says, I like strong people, I like strong women, but I always like knowing where I stand. And so I feel
she likes that too.
You just quoted that like it was an actual serious quote.
It's just I'm very detailed. I've hung it on my wall. I've actually made some Etsy prints of it.
We take very detailed notes because we're professionals. But the moment when she tells him that is actually so cute because he says, oh, I'm falling for you too. Not the kind of thing that you say when you're about to dump someone because you have two other girlfriends.
It was also just the kind of thing where if you hadn't...
Did he say, I love you too?
He said, I'm falling for you.
Oh.
And I feel
like... And they kind of, like, tussle on the couch.
Oh, yeah, she starts giggling. I feel like if we hadn't known that she was the Bachelorette, I would have thought she was going to Final Two.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. 100%. And that's why I was once again annoyed by the announcement.
Yeah. Me too.
I feel like it really undercut our arc of emotional investment in Rachel because that's when you really get attached to someone is wanting them to win and then seeing them get hurt.
Yeah.
And we already knew that was happening.
I will say, though, that it made her – not to jump ahead. I know we like to stay chronologically. But just her departure was less heart-wrenching because of that.
Yeah, in a good way.
I ended up finding it more fascinating to watch the breakup now too.
Yeah. Now that we're talking about Rachel, we can just jump into her the goodbye.
Claire, I can't tell if
we're skipping Vanessa's date.
No. But we'll get back to it.
I mean, I also want to point out that when they woke up the next morning, she was wearing fleece hoodie pajamas.
She was wearing a penguin onesie. I tweeted at her. I was like, where did you get this?
I've had several requests to ID that.
Yeah. I was like, who cares about the dresses? I would like that
but
onesie.
But it's the thing, too, where if I wore that, I would look like an overgrown toddler, and she just looks like...
Ridiculously cute.
Yeah.
Hot. Like, how do you look hot in something
she
that?
She always looks hot, which is why she's going to be a great...
She's got great style.
One of many reasons she'll be... She'll be able to
that
carry the
sweater.
Show.
Okay, anyway, we won't talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She dresses well.
She really does. Yeah. Her rose ceremony dresses. Perfect.
Yeah, she looked great at the rose ceremony and then does not get the rose.
I felt like that goodbye was like more emotionally pure and real than a lot of what we've seen on the show. Like, that was real emotion. You could
there
tell
were
Nick
tears
was,
falling off of his face.
Yeah, you could tell that
before
he was so
he upset. Said her
oh, yeah.
During their conversation, he was just leaking, like, all over the place. Like, I saw tears, like, flying in different directions. Yeah. I was like, what are you doing? You clearly are very emotionally invested in her.
Well, okay, I said this to Claire earlier. I kind of feel like sometimes when Nick really, really respects a woman and he realizes that she's not going to be the final one standing, he'll send her home. So I don't like, I felt sort of like with Christina that he, like, he knew Corinne wasn't going to be the final one. Mm-hmm. But I feel like once he realized that with Christina, he didn't want to put her through the hometown. And I sort of felt the same way with Rachel. I agree to an extent.
I do feel like if Corinne were not on this season at all, not even numbers-wise, I think the Corinne hometown date was just for entertainment value and to meet Raquel and blah, 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 blah. And, like, obviously, Christina didn't even make Final Four, and she had the position in Women Tell All, not to jump ahead to Women Tell All, but of someone who made Final Four.
Right.
You know, she got the hot seat time, their connection, blah, blah, blah. And Corinne's hot seat time was not even about that. Like, I think Christina belonged in Final Four.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Sorry,
not to jump ahead. In our hearts, she's in the Final Four.
Yes.
Also, just like, it's so obvious what Nick's type is when you see all of his top women together. Like, Raven and Vanessa are like flip sides of the same, like, brunette, long hair, like, slender coin.
Oh, that's interesting. And I hadn't thought of that.
And Christina is too. And Corinne is such an outlier that, like, that always threw me.
So let's get back to Vanessa's date.
Yeah.
Where they take a lot of ice baths and have a lot of very intense conversations.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this date. I can't tell whether you guys liked this date or not.
It was I mean, the thing is, I've always liked Vanessa, but...
And I've always liked her for Nick.
Yes.
But I'm starting to sense that they have these huge obstacles and then their whole date becomes about the huge obstacles, and it's hard to really invest in their romance because you're like, this is a bad idea. Why are they doing this, you know? Charlene does not agree.
I agree. I see what you're saying. I just think that it's very telling that they're already talking about the obstacles instead of, like, you know, like, they're already talking about it like it's going to happen.
Right. No, yeah. I think that he definitely is the most invested in her.
Yeah.
Because he wants to have those conversations. But then when you have those conversations, it should, like, it still sets off alarm bells when the answer is, I don't know how we're going to make this work.
Yes, but I don't think that when it comes to them being too similar or whatever, I feel like that's a different obstacle. Or a
I
different
still don't even know what that was.
I don't even understand how they got there.
He's like maybe we're too similar.
I felt like they had chopped up that conversation a bit, oddly. Like it went in this transition. I was like, wait, what are you similar about? I don't –
Yeah, they're
miss
both
something?
Strong personalities or whatever, but I don't – I think that's a non-issue if you agree on most things.
No, the thing that raised the red flags for me was that she seems to be very invested in going to – lunch with her family every Sunday, and that family is in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see Nick moving to Montreal. I don't know. I mean, you're good friends with Nick. Maybe that's a possibility. It's his life plan.
I was asked that by a friend, and I was like, well, I didn't really picture it, but, you know, maybe. And then I asked boy Andy, and he was like, no, no hesitation.
I mean, that's just such a big lifestyle thing is to live near your partner's family and see them for most of the day every Sunday. Mm. That's huge. Like, I could not do that. And it's not that I don't like my fiance's family. They're great. We even live pretty close to them.
That's a lot.
That's really – like, if he doesn't actively want that – and I think that's probably been a huge obstacle for her in relationships, that she expects to stay so close to her family. Mm-hmm.
I do think that is a pretty big demand on her part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially when you're from different countries, different coasts, first of all. Like, he's living in L.A.
It also makes me wonder if she just hasn't ever lived far from home. You know, like, some people go off to college.
It seems like she might – Like, I love –
I'm very
have.
Close with my family, but I – don't need to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's the habit of it.
Right. And I wonder, like, if they are both willing to compromise certain things, I think personality-wise, it's actually a good fit.
Yeah,
and I actually think that he really enjoys women who push back on him, who are strong, and he said this. And also, if you've just watched the show and seen his connections with Andy and Caitlin, like, he likes sort of a bit of back and forth. Mm-hmm. And
I think he likes not totally being in the driver's seat. Yeah. Like, it's been very weird for him being in charge. And he was very comfortable being the guy who had to, like, please the woman who was calling the shots and go wherever she went with it. So he definitely is drawn to Vanessa's sense of, like, this is how our life is going to be, and you can get on board or not.
I do like that about
yeah.
her.
Yeah. No, I think she's awesome. Yeah. And I
she
like
defies
both of them.
The stereotype here.
Yes.
Of just, you know, it being a given that the winner will move to wherever he is or wherever he wants
right.
to go.
No, I right. think with them it will be a – it would have to be a real – conversation. Mm-hmm.
And we already know he's going to be in LA for Dancing with the Stars. So that's big. Is she going to be willing to even part of the time live somewhere else? She seems very sure of what she wants her life
and
to
she
be.
She has a job. She loves her job.
Cool
and
job.
That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I like
really
want them
tough.
To work, but it was like hard for me to watch this date because of all
and
the red
and
flags.
I decide that they should move to New York because it's like a some sort of
well,
a compromise.
I support
and you can
that.
Drive up to Montreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, we're, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can totally do like entertainment type stuff in New York.
Yeah. Hey, you yeah. can literally hop in a car and drive up to Montreal. It's just like,
yeah.
it's a fun
I went
road
to,
trip.
I went to school in Montreal. I used to drive and come down to New York all the time on
yeah. Yeah.
breaks.
Yeah.
Very easy.
It is. Just saying.
Yeah. Just saying. Hop in that car straight up I-87 okay. to Quebec Route 15 and then you're there. Okay.
So one thing that Vanessa said. Said is that she's been wanting to meet someone like Nick who makes her feel like she's the only person who exists and the only person who's special. And this is the other thing that kind of has been niggling at me about Vanessa is that she's very invested in seeming different from the other women. And sometimes it can come across
like a panda
as a little
in a room
bit
full of brown bears.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes it just comes across as a little like like she thinks that she's obviously better than them and he should know. Like, that makes me a little like,
oh, I don't know if I agree, Claire.
Yeah. You sorry. Can disagree.
No, I like this. This is a good
I just feel like it's not that she thinks that about herself. It's that she wants it to be like, that's how he sees her. That I can
oh,
say
yeah.
that for myself. Like, because I feel
yeah.
the same
but
way
But it
as
is
her.
Part of the show, though, too. Like, she came on the show. She wants to feel like the only woman who exists in the world. That's not how it's going to be. She wants yeah. to feel like she's the only one who's special. Well, that's not how life is. Like, other people are going to be special.
You're not special.
She's clearly really struggling with the format of the show.
Yeah.
But
although it is towards the end, and I would imagine that
but she's
you would
been doing
feel
she's probably surprised
this
by
is thing.
Yeah, but she probably is also surprised by how far it's gone and like how invested she's become. Like when you go
yeah.
on the show, it's not like you really think you're gonna necessarily win.
Find
like
love.
That would be crazy.
Yeah.
yeah,
yeah, to really think you're gonna be the one. So I feel like that's how she is in relationships in real life, and it's applying itself in the situation where it doesn't
yeah.
really make sense, but she can't help that, if that makes sense.
We're going to take a quick break, but stick around. When we get back, we'll have more with Charlene Joint. Stay with us. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate like what's the correct amount of social energy, what kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize, what space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge. Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all, like, weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20. 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I, like, arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something, without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Before we get back to the podcast, Emma, have you checked out our news quiz on Google Home?
I haven't. What is it?
It's like a weekly quiz on Google Home where you can just check out how closely you've been following HuffPost top stories, including the most important ones, the Bachelor stories.
That actually sounds pretty cool. Potentially more fun than some of the group dates this season, like the shoveling poopy one.
Yeah, they should definitely do a trivia night instead. This is sort of like it.
Can I see the quiz in action?
Yeah, let's try this question.
Welcome to the HuffPost headline quiz. Let's see how up-to-date you are on the news. Here's your first question. Which contestant threw up during her one-on-one date with Nick? Is it A, Corinne, B, Vanessa, C, Christina, D, Rachel?
B, Vanessa.
You got it.
Wow. Remember when Vanessa threw up and Nick kissed her anyway?
That's what we call true love, Claire.
Romance at its best.
So you're telling me there's a new quiz like this one every Friday?
Yeah, if you have a Google Home, you should definitely try it out. You just say, okay, Google, talk to the Huffington Post, and the quiz will start.
That sounds pretty sweet. Now, back to The Bachelor.
I think I'm always a little suspicious of people who are like, I'm the special one. Like, it's me. I'm the special one. It's like, well, we're all special.
Speaking like, chill. Of special ones, I think it's time for us to move on to Women Tell All. A lot of women... Okay. Thought they were the most special.
I'm not special sure how I felt about the lips, the rainbow of lipstick.
Oh my
colors.
God! Well, Josephine and Elizabeth.
Goodbye, Josephine. Goodbye, Elizabeth. I couldn't like
Josephine and Elizabeth were both wearing so much lipstick.
And it happens every season. A couple women who didn't get a lot of screen time come on like ready to comment on everyone else and everything. And
when Elizabeth had commented on Taylor, she was like, I have a, you know, I went to school for psychology. It's like, you weren't there. I don't want to be a dick, but you're basing this on what you saw on TV.
Right. She was trying to comment on everyone. And then Josephine was like, I realize that I only get screen time if I talk about Corinne. So she just would jump
in her defense
to attack other women on behalf of Corinne. And I'm like, Corinne. Can fight her own battles.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's like steamrolling over every woman who has any conflict with her. Mm-hmm. And like, I was so over it.
Yeah. I did feel like it sort of represented like the kind of people that would align themselves with Corinne to that extent where they would be, you know, jumping in. I understand Corinne has friends and I understand that.
Yeah, I think genuinely most of the women actually mostly got along with each other overall.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, even when, like, a clip of Taylor or just something else would be showing, Josephine would, like, be rolling her eyes dramatically. It's like,
tone it down.
Yeah. Like, yes, we'll probably see her on Paradise.
It's so interesting. Like, the dynamic where a group of girls or, like, a tiny clique of girls will jump all over someone as bullying them because they weren't friendly enough, whereas it's like... If you really look at what bullying is, teaming up to, like, crap all over someone on television is much closer to what bullying actually is.
Yeah.
But it's whatever makes them unhappy is bullying. And that was really, like, the whole Corinne and Taylor back and forth boiled down to, like, Taylor being like, yeah, there are things I regret and, like, I'm here to, like, make amends. But I really wish Corinne would express a little bit of empathy for how, like, I've had to give up my practice because of, like, the drama she caused with me. And Corinne being like, well, what about me?
Oh, that drove me crazy.
It drove me crazy.
At every turn.
And I hated it because in the last couple episodes, I was growing to really, you know, enjoy Corinne. I can appreciate can appreciate her and I think she's funny and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very hard for me to watch women being really mean to other women.
Yeah.
And I just, I found it really painful to watch. I felt like I could just also see how the social media response was going to be really brutal on Taylor. And it made me really, really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also killed me how, you know, Corinne thinks she won.
Yeah.
You know how, like, Taylor wanted the apology and then somehow she ended up apologizing because she was a big person and was opening the door up to let's get the apologetic juices flowing.
And then
Corinne's just like, thank you.
And then Chris Harrison moved on.
Yeah.
Which I wish he would have.
The bar was just lowered so much. It's like, we just need to get Corinne to acknowledge Taylor's, like, presence in a non-attacking way.
Yeah.
And she's
incapable of that.
The best she can do is thank you. And they're like, well, good enough for us.
Yeah, and it was just not even
love Corinne.
Can I just say, I don't want to talk about Corinne and Taylor the whole time, but it really was the focal point of Women Tell All.
Unfortunately.
You notice how when they brought Taylor up to the hot seat, they do the video recap of the season. They only showed Taylor's bitchiest moments and not any of Corinne's.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but feel like that was the show picking sides.
Oh, yeah. 100% it felt like there. And I felt like Chris Harrison was way harder on Taylor.
Yeah.
It was all about, what did you do, making fun of the fact that she used the term emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Also,
over and over again.
Speaking about emotional intelligence as though, like, no one in the world would know what that means. I'm like, what the hell?
And oh, my God. Yeah. And when Corinne's like, oh, I might not be the brightest crayon in the box, but I've never had anyone say they wouldn't be my friend because I wasn't intelligent enough. And Taylor's like, I didn't say that. And then she was like, yes, you did. That's clearly what you said. It's like, it's not.
It's not what she said.
And like, to sit down and say, like,
facts.
Oh, but it was so alternative facts-y. The whole thing was so, like, and Corinne saying, you know, I never talk bad about anyone in the house until you started it. Everyone laughed, first of all. No one believes that, but it doesn't matter
because
they think it's cute
it.
That she's being like that.
Mm-hmm.
But she's creating this alternative timeline. In reality, like, Taylor is never shown having an issue with her until Corinne repeatedly needles her, repeatedly gins up confrontations about the re-interruption, which Corinne can't handle, even though she interrupts people all the time.
Yeah.
Corinne starts
even during the Women Tell All.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she was like, someone's talking. I don't know why someone's talking.
After
she had interrupted
like a million times. Yeah, it was so frustrating.
It's like Taylor has to behave like 7 times better and still be the villain.
Yeah.
And she was crying.
Yeah.
Like, she was obviously very emotional about it.
Yeah.
And there was no mercy. It just really broke my heart.
And I feel like often Women Tell All is at least a time where all of the women, even if they're not going to be friends afterwards, they might yell at each other, but they take the time to be like, I'm really sorry if I hurt you.
Yeah.
And we can all kind of feel that was wrapped up and move on.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. And I just found it so frustrating. And then they made it into a big joke.
And then she brings out the cheesy pasta.
And everyone cheers.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was a moment of levity. That was funny. But in the context of the fact that she's just spent the last 20 minutes really speaking down and yelling at another woman, it just felt very off to me. It was
especially
gross.
Yeah, and she didn't give her apology. She was like, thank you. And then and then they immediately cut to the Raquel thing, which of course makes her look really good.
Yeah.
Right. And then she brings out the cheesy pasta and everyone's cheering.
Again, like, people have complained, understandably, that Raquel's used as, like, a gag during the season and she's a real person, et cetera. That's because of Corinne. Like, Corinne used her as a gag. Mm. Corinne would bring her up and be like, oh, my nanny would, like, make better pasta than this. That was Corinne's fault.
Yeah.
And then Corinne becomes the victim of it, of her own, like, selfish words.
And if you know, were to believe what she said at Women Tell All, then all that was a lie to some degree, because she said she couldn't, you know, she didn't do her own laundry, she couldn't clean a spoon. If this woman, you know, did come back into your life later and, you know, did not play the role of a nanny in your life, you know, that it doesn't add up. There's
And but then she just came in and was like, I'm never making a bed again, I guess, because Raquel's here. What?
Yeah.
Like,
right. No, look, she leaned into that character and that's fine. You're allowed to do that. But then, to play this victim role to the point where Jasmine had to apologize for being confused that a grown woman had a nanny. I was like, Jasmine didn't even shit talk Corinne.
No.
She just expressed.
She's clearly her friend, actually.
Yeah, she's clearly her friend. She just expressed genuine confusion. Like, wait, you have a nanny. Like, that seems completely legitimate to me. It wasn't even a mean moment. And yet somehow,
Yeah.
She's apologizing.
Corinne is masterful at becoming the victim of her own self-created situation.
Truly, like, I wanted to leave the season liking Corinne, liking Taylor, feeling good about how all of them were funny and got along. And this left a really bad taste in my mouth.
It really did. Mm-hmm.
And it, like you said, like, I was really coming around with Corinne in the last few weeks, and that really put her back down, like, in my eyes. Like, it was so frustrating. It reminded me of earlier in the season.
Yeah. Like, she's, I mean, she has a lot of good qualities. A lot of the women in the house really like her, including some of the women I really respect. But she's definitely the kind of girl who has had an easy life, and when she's not getting her way, doesn't feel the need to behave well anymore. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, it's enough that I behave well when I'm getting what I want. It's enough that I'm fun most of the time. And that, like, entitles me to behave badly when I feel like it. And that's really – it was just really sad. And then juxtaposed oddly with these really touching moments with, like, Christina and even Liz.
I loved Liz. She, to me, was, like, the MVP of the women tell all.
She had her redemption moment.
She did really well. Also, you could tell that a lot of the women in the house are really close with her, even though she was only there briefly, and that she's, like, a real stabilizing force. I loved her little, like, go off about how women should be building each other up instead of tearing each other down. And you're like, oh, it makes complete – like, this is a mature adult woman.
She did the opposite of Corinne. Like, she did not play the victim at all when truly she could have, based on what happened to her on this season. And she was totally moved on, was just so mature about it. She was really likable.
Yeah. I was glad to see at least one person that I felt bad for this season
have a redemption, have a
nice moment at Women Tell All.
It also made me really hope that she's on Bachelor in Paradise, because I felt like
that is where her best friend fell in love.
Yeah. So. It would honestly be a good arc.
Yeah.
But she'd have to take some time off from apparently building orphanages in third world.
I know. She's also, like, a really great person, apparently. Yeah. We just didn't get to hear anything about her except for the fact that she had sex one time.
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
Yeah.
And then, Christina's moment I thought was really beautiful also.
Yeah.
I love her.
And Liz came through with that again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was, yeah. Christina is just such a class act.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And they barely even got to talk to Christina because everyone just immediately started crying.
Yeah.
And, like, being like, we love you. That's the whole story of Christina.
And I loved those moments.
Yeah.
The other thing that made me sad is that, you know, obviously I heard Kristen talking on AfterBuzz's podcast that they filmed for 5 hours. Obviously, we only saw two and then plus commercial breaks. But, like, there were some women that played decently big roles in the season that we didn't even hear from. Like, we kept hearing
Danielle M.
Danielle L. got one question with Nick, but basically wasn't there. Danielle M. also, like, her hair looked great. Her jumpsuit was fantastic.
Yeah,
like,
it was badass.
And also, Jamie was looking really awesome.
Yeah.
And she didn't even – not one line. Not one word.
Yeah. But meanwhile, Lacey got prime time to be like, I feel like you talked to me about Josephine during our last 5 minutes together. And I was like, Lacey, literally, who are you?
Like, she's like, did you friend zone me? I'm like, he did.
Clearly he did.
He didn't like you.
Like, yes, he friend zoned you because he sent you home, like, very early. So
it's frustrating that that made air when you know Danielle M. probably said something at some point. And yet
she tweeted something like, I was wondering, you know, I guess they turned my mic off. Like, she was clearly like needling the show a little bit about, she's like, yeah, you would have thought I wasn't on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dominique also gets time.
I was just about to mention, I actually really liked Nick's answer to what she said.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm, you know, curious to know why you chose some women over, you know, like, some women had your checklist of the things you were looking for. He was like, sometimes there's just an intangible, something you can't put your finger on. What do you want me to say?
It's true. Like, it's very weird in a way to look at a guy and be like, I was trying to embody all the things that you want, and yet you sent me home and I feel wronged. And it's like, well, you can't make him like you by just, like, she pulled out a little bit during her goodbye.
He did a really good job. He was
he did nothing really wrong.
No, he was really kind to every woman who asked him a question. He said, I understand.
He almost snapped. He didn't snap, but when Danielle L. was really, you put me on a two-on-one, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, look, I made it to Final Two twice and didn't get picked. It was really like a mic drop.
Yeah, he's like, you want to talk brutal?
Yeah. And he was like, I would have been happy to have gone home sooner in both of those cases.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is not totally true in retrospect, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, but it all worked out because I'm on with Dancing with the Stars now and it's going to be fine.
Yeah. And then we see Rachel come out and talk about The Bachelorette and how much she learned from her time with Nick. And
I'm so excited for her. Yeah. Her season's going to be so good.
All the women love her so much.
She's so lovely. Like, she's so beautiful. And yet, people are standing, cheering for her. Like, when was the last time we saw? I don't know. Maybe they always do that. But I felt like they really, really liked her.
Liking her that much. I mean,
no one has a bad word to say about
Rachel. It seems like every single woman loves her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really sweet.
And I love that he's asking her this serious question about whether it's a big deal to her that she's the first black franchise lead.
She's like,
yes. And then she immediately starts laughing. It's like, I'm sorry, I just saw the audience member costume. In a shark costume.
I think she and Alexis are very good friends. Also, not enough Alexis last night. She's so funny. We got to get her on this podcast for Rachel's season. Because she lives in Jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, she does. Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think her one thing was being like, Nick friendzoned me, and that was fine.
Oh, that was so funny. She's like, I felt good about it.
Yeah, she was happy with where I stood. Yeah.
Got to travel the world for a little bit with my buddy Nick and all my gal pals.
And that broke the fourth wall, too. You know, she pretty much was like, we were never romantically interested in each other.
Exactly. And that was cool.
Yeah.
Kristen,
and it put all the other girls that were complaining about being friend-zoned in their places, I felt like.
Yeah. Especially the ones that didn't even have a friendship with Nick.
They had
nothing with Nick.
Yeah.
Did you friend-zone me when you rejected me right after we met?
Well,
I don't know if I'd put it that way.
We didn't even get to that point.
Yeah. Let's not speak anymore, you. So that kind of puts a wrap on Women Tell All, which was grueling emotionally and physically. And we
made it through.
Know why it has to be 2 hours. Why? I don't know.
I got to say, I didn't think it was that terrible, Women Tell All. I know we're trying to wrap up here. I just felt like it had, you know, the elements. It had some redemption stories and it had the drama that didn't feel like forced by producer, although it was painful because it didn't feel forced by producer.
I think that the drama was overshadowed it a bit for me because I felt so physically uncomfortable half the time. But now that I'm looking back, like, I loved the Liz moment.
Yeah.
I loved the Christina moments.
Yeah. It's just the Taylor Corinne stuff, like, literally made my heart race.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It made me so physically uncomfortable. Yeah. And that sort of.
I would have absolutely stopped watching around that time. I would have been like, I just can't stand this.
It's a shame that they had to focus on that so much. But this is The Bachelor. They never don't focus on drama when it's available. Mm-hmm. So that was inevitable. And now it's over. We're never going to talk about it again. And next week we have the big finale. And I can't wait to find out.
Whether Nick picks Vanessa.
Is still with her. Are they moving to Montreal?
That's actually the biggest question to me. I just don't
see it with him ending up with Raven. Yeah. But
they're just so behind.
Yeah.
Like the way he is with Vanessa, they're talking about where they're gonna live, and with Raven it's like, I love you.
Yeah.
You know, which Vanessa said in like week 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. I feel like they're building up all of the drama around Vanessa because they want us to be like, is she going to get the final rose? But, like, we all know.
Yeah.
It's just...
it's obvious.
It's very obvious.
Yeah.
If they hadn't announced Rachel early, it would have been obvious when she went home, like, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been like, okay, so it's definitely Vanessa because Rachel is the only person who seemed close.
Yes.
But I am excited to see... I'm excited to see it play out. And then I'm honestly just really excited to see the guys that they cast for Rachel's season.
Same.
I'm like ready to get into The Bachelorette and I'm ready to make fun of dudes again.
Yeah.
I want some real toxic dude drama this year. Just like some really corrosive rivalries. It'll be fun. Someone not like Chad as the villain. No. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So hopefully we will see you again to talk about Rachel. If the world hasn't ended by then.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
That's
a legitimate concern, actually.
Yeah. After Nick gets his Canadian citizenship and hops over the border.
I'm going to ask for Nick and Vanessa to adopt me. And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. three not cool people. 4, the 1950s are back. 5, gender equality is straight up dead.
And now for Feminism Fails. This week we just have one, which is pretty much 85% of the Women Tell All episode, which was so nasty and catty, it was difficult to watch. We're just giving that a 4 for being one of the tell-alls in recent memory, most packed with girl-on-girl crime and general unpleasantness. With a few notable exceptions, thanks, Liz.
And now for our tweet of the week. This week, it comes from Dana Weiss at Possessionista. Nick, I'm proud to be an American. Me, I'll move to Canada. Same.
Yeah, kind of sums it all up.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Charlene Joint, and of course, our producer, Nick Offenberg.
If you haven't yet, now is a great time to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes to subscribe and give us a rating and review. We're also on Facebook, so please like us. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily D. Rose. Or you can always send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffingtonpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week for the big finale.
Want even more Bachelor stories in your life? Sign up for HuffPost's entertainment email for even more roses.
More roses.
More virtual roses.
More most dramatic moments ever.
Juicy celeb news, hilarious late night bits, and also some awards show coverage and more.
Yeah, it's not all Bachelor out there, but a lot of it is. To subscribe, tap the image on the Acast player, or if you have no idea what we're talking about, just go to bit.ly/entnewsletter. That's bit.ly/entnewsletter.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.